Well, hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Leslie Kernison, board-certified geriatrician and the founder of the website betterhealthwhileaging.net. And this is the Better Health While Aging video podcast, where we discuss common health problems that affect people over age 60 and the best ways to prevent and manage those problems. We also often address common concerns and dilemmas that come up with aging parents and other older loved ones, like what to do if you're worried about falls or safety or memory or even the quality of an older person's healthcare. In today's episode, I'm going to address a very common medical condition, which is called anemia. And there are a couple of reasons why I felt called to make an episode about this. So first of all, it's a really common condition, and many people have either been told they have anemia or know somebody who has anemia. And the interesting thing about anemia is that it's a condition that's associated with quite a large array of different health problems. Anemia basically means having a red blood cell count that's lower than normal, and that is almost always being caused by some other health problem in the body. This means that anemia can represent anything from a life-threatening emergency to a mild chronic problem that barely makes primary care providers take note. Another thing that I've noticed about anemia over the years is that older adults and families often don't understand it very well. People have common misunderstandings, like believing it's always related to iron deficiency, which may or may not be true. And the thing is, since anemia is generally caused by some other problem in the body, not understanding anemia often means that people don't understand something else that might be important about their health. Lastly, I've also noticed over the years that it's not uncommon for anemia to sometimes be mismanaged by health providers. So for instance, people are sometimes told to take iron when they don't actually have an iron deficiency anemia. They might have a different type of anemia. So I don't want this to be the case for you. I feel like anemia is a good condition for most older adults and their families to understand. So in this video, I am going to take you through what I think is most important for older adults and families to know. And specifically, what I want to cover in this video is, first of all, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the definition of anemia to clarify just what it means. I'm going to talk about how we detect it and diagnose it in the healthcare system. Then I'm going to cover what are some symptoms of anemia. And then, since anemia is generally being caused by something else going on in the body, I'm going to cover 10 common causes of anemia in older adults. And I'm also going to talk about what doctors should normally do to check for these. I also have a list of suggested questions that I want to share with you, what I suggest you ask your doctor or health provider if you're told you have anemia. And then at the end, just because I see so much confusion about this question of anemia and iron, I'm going to talk about a few common pitfalls to look out for and avoid if possible. So now, what is anemia? What does it mean to have anemia? So as I mentioned, it's basically having a lower than normal number of functioning healthy red blood cells in your blood doing their job. And the way we detect it is through what we call a CBC, that's short for complete blood count. So this is a very common blood test that is often ordered for all kinds of reasons in primary care or when people come into the emergency room. Now, a basic CBC will generally cover six things, and they are the white blood cell count, because along with red blood cells, you also have white blood cells in your body. Those are the ones that fight infections. So there'll be a white blood cell count, number of white blood cells per microliter of blood. There'll be a red blood cell count, and then there'll be something that's called hemoglobin, which means how many grams of this oxygen-carrying protein per deciliter of blood. So hemoglobin is a protein within each red blood cell that carries oxygen, and hemoglobin contains iron. So that's an important part of the CBC that we look at. And then there's also hematocrit, which means the fraction of blood that is made up of red blood cells. Then there'll be something called the mean corpuscular volume. This is the average size of red blood cells. And then there'll be the platelet count. Now, platelets are a different type of cell in your blood. It's a smaller cell that's really important for clotting. So that's what we see in a CBC. Now, you might think that to diagnose anemia, we'd be especially looking at the red blood cell count. But for some reason, I'm not sure if it's convention or other reasons, we actually really look at these two numbers. We especially look at hemoglobin, How many grams of hemoglobin per deciliter of blood? Is that lower than normal? And we look also at hematocrit. Is that lower than normal? So to determine, you know, how low is low and how bad is the anemia, let's start off with, well, what's a normal level of hemoglobin in the blood? A normal level for men would normally be in the range of 14 to 17 grams. And for women, it's generally going to be a little lower. We would consider 12 to 15 to be normal for women. Now, different labs will have slightly different reference ranges, but this is about what we would consider normal. So if it's, as the hemoglobin gets below that normal range, we consider it sort of more and more significant. So a hemoglobin of around 10 is often considered to be moderate anemia, whereas hemoglobin kind of 11, you know, between 10 and a half and 12 for women, or maybe between 10 and a half and, you know, 13 and a half for men might be considered mild anemia. And then a hemoglobin that gets down to 6.5 to 7.9 grams per deciliter is often considered severe anemia. And at that point, we're generally seeing people having symptoms, and we're also often considering a transfusion. So in some cases, it is appropriate if somebody has a really low level of hemoglobin, a low red blood cell count, it's appropriate to transfuse them, to give them blood from someone else. And so transfusions are often considered for hemoglobins that are in the range of 7 to 8. So next, I want to talk to you about the symptoms of anemia. But before I do that, to understand the symptoms, it can be helpful to have an understanding of what it is that red blood cells do in the body. So what do red blood cells actually do? The role of red blood cells in your blood is to use the hemoglobin to carry oxygen, to capture the oxygen in your lungs from the air, and to carry it through the blood and then release it at the right time to different cells in the body. And again, hemoglobin is a special protein and it contains iron. So much of the iron in our bodies is actually in the hemoglobin in our red blood cells. Now, if you don't have enough properly functioning red blood cells, the symptoms are often related to your body's organs and cells feeling like they don't have enough oxygen. So that means that symptoms often might include things like feeling tired, fatigue, feeling weak. Shortness of breath is another one that we see. We also often see people have a higher heart rate. When they're anemic, this is part of the body compensating for feeling like it doesn't have enough oxygen by increasing the work of the heart and saying, okay, well, why don't you pump the blood faster, you know, through our system that gets oxygen and brings it to the cells. People sometimes experience headaches. They can also become more pale. And during a physical exam, as healthcare providers, we look for that usually like right in that inner lower lid by pulling down people's lid, because in a normal person who has a normal hemoglobin level, that should look nice and red and rosy. But in people who are quite anemic, it might look pale. And then especially if a person has been bleeding, they might actually have lower blood pressure than usual due to anemia and loss of blood. So those are symptoms of anemia, but not everybody who has anemia experiences these symptoms. It turns out that the degree to which people have symptoms depends on a few things. So first of all, it depends on how far below normal is the hemoglobin level, because it turns out that in most cases, when people have a mild level of anemia, so a hemoglobin that is just a little bit below normal, they can have no symptoms or very, very mild symptoms. The other thing that really affects the symptoms that people experience when it comes to anemia is how quickly did the hemoglobin drop to this level. And that's because the body is an amazing machine that has all these mechanisms for compensating for common problems. And so it is designed to compensate for the fact that sometimes people have lost blood or have another reason to have anemia. And the body is able to make adjustments so that then it has fewer symptoms. However, those adjustments usually take weeks or months to develop. So what this means is that if the drop happens quickly, so for instance, a hemoglobin drop of 12.5 to 10 might cause more symptoms. The person might feel more symptoms if it happens over 2 days than if it happened very slowly, little bit at a time, over 2 months. Okay, so those are the symptoms of anemia. But as I was saying, anemia is generally caused by something else going wrong in the body. And so before I take you through those common causes, I want to talk a little bit about the life cycle of normal red blood cells, because the causes basically relate to something interrupting the way that we usually produce and lose red blood cells. So how is it supposed to work in the body? So many of our cells in the body live quite a long time, years and years, some of them, you know, essentially our entire life. But red blood cells are unusual in that they have a quite short lifespan. They generally only live for 100 to 120 days. So that means 3 to 4 months. And so what that means is that a healthy body must always be producing red blood cells. And this is generally done in the bone marrow, and it takes about 7 days. Within our bone marrow, we have special progenitor cells whose job is to divide and kind of create red blood cells out of what they're dividing and producing. And so after 7 days, they'll have a new red blood cell. They'll send it out into the circulation. It will do its work again for 3 to 4 months, and then it'll die. And when it dies, the body has a mechanism to recover the cell and actually recycle that iron, which was in the hemoglobin. And that iron is brought back to the bone marrow and is reused to make new red blood cells. So that's how the system is supposed to work. So actually for iron, generally the body expects to only lose very, very small amounts over time. And it's expecting to recycle most of the iron in our body. So in terms of what causes anemia, anemia basically happens when something interferes with that normal life cycle of the red blood cell. And generally, we'll see the problem happen in, you know, what I consider one of two major buckets or categories. And if there's anemia, we always want to be asking ourselves, well, what is wrong? Because anemia is not only a diagnosis, but it's also a symptom. It's a symptom of an underlying health condition that probably should be identified and potentially needs to be treated or managed. So the two kinds of buckets that we especially see for anemia is, one is there can be some problem with the production of red blood cells, and the other is that there can be a problem with losing red blood cells. And I wrote and or here because actually, in some cases, people can have a problem on both sides. They can be having a problem producing the red blood cells, and they can be having a problem losing them or not appropriately recycling the iron that is in them. So let me now go into a little bit more depth into some of the common causes of anemia. So let me first go through some common causes that are on that production side. These are generally going to include problems that relate to the bone marrow, or deficiencies in vitamins and substances that the bone marrow needs to create red blood cells. So some common problems that, you know, affect red blood cell production and cause anemia. One is chemotherapy. So when people have cancer and get chemotherapy, chemotherapy agents are designed to target rapidly dividing cells, because often cancer cells are more rapidly dividing than the average cell in your body. But the normal body also has some cells that are rapidly dividing, and your bone marrow cells that are busy making red blood cells all the time are among them. So that's why often when people are on chemotherapy, we do see some anemia. Another common issue is a lack of iron. So the body needs iron to make functioning red blood cells, and if it doesn't have enough iron, then you can develop anemia. Now, in a moment, we'll talk about, you know, why people would be losing iron, but I consider this, you know, partly a production problem. And then along with iron, the bone marrow needs other substances to complete its process of making new red blood cells. And so lack of certain vitamins that are integral to that process can also cause anemia. The most common ones that we see that people are lacking are vitamin B12 and folate. Another issue that can cause anemia is low levels of something called erythropoietin. So this is a substance that's actually produced by the kidneys and kind of motivates and stimulates the bone marrow to make red blood cells. So if people have chronic kidney disease or their kidneys are not well, they can have low levels of erythropoietin. We call it EPO for short, and then they can get an anemia related to that. And this is, in case you're wondering, the same EPO that elite athletes sometimes use for what, you know, has sometimes been called blood doping, because you can take a normal person, and if you give them some additional EPO, they will make extra red blood cells, and that actually improves people's endurance and can be an advantage if you are doing athletics competitively. Another thing that can cause the body to make fewer red blood cells is chronic inflammation. This causes something that we used to be called anemia of chronic disease. It's now more called anemia of chronic inflammation. And through processes that I'll actually touch on a little bit later in this episode, having ongoing inflammation can interfere with the body's ability to produce red blood cells. And then there are what we call bone marrow disorders, things that are actually happening within the bone marrow that are making it unable to make red blood cells. This can be due to infections, certain types of viral infections, certain types of bacterial infections. It can be due to a type of cancer related to blood cells, like a leukemia or a lymphoma, or there's even a condition where people start making abnormal too many red blood cells as well that can affect the bone marrow. So anything that's keeping the bone marrow from being healthy and doing its work often does also cause anemia. So that was the production side. And then there's the side of, you know, losing blood or not being able to appropriately recycle one's iron. So what are some common causes there? So one of them would be injuries, right? So especially if people have had something like a car accident, or a violent assault, or even a bad fall, they can have bleeding and they can be losing blood. And sometimes that bleeding is really obvious, but other times they can be bleeding into an internal space and it may not be so obvious, but we can see their hemoglobin and hematocrit going down if we test their blood with a CBC. And then there's bleeding in the stomach, small intestine, or colon in the digestive tract, which is actually pretty common. Now, sometimes this happens quickly. That's actually less common. But there are certain health conditions that can cause people to suddenly start vomiting blood or suddenly start to have bright red blood coming out the bottom end. And if that happens a lot, they could get anemic from that. But what's actually more common is for people to be losing blood somewhere in their digestive tract in a way that's slow and microscopic. They might not even notice that it's happening. And there are lots of common health issues that can cause this. So first of all, many medications make people at risk for bleeding in their digestive tract, such as taking a daily aspirin, taking a daily non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, you know, a medication such as ibuprofen, which is available over the counter, or prescription strength, certain prescription strength arthritis drugs. So blood thinners will also do this. So medications can cause people to have a microscopic bleed. Having ulcers in their stomach or in their small intestine can cause this. Or it does also sometimes happen because people have a cancer, such as a colon cancer or another cancer somewhere in their bowel, and that can cause some bleeding as well. Another potential cause of anemia related to losing blood is heavy menstrual bleeding. Now, this is not obviously a common cause in older women who generally have gone through menopause, but it's a very common cause of anemia in younger women, some of whom have very heavy periods. And then occasionally when we have people, especially if they've been in the hospital for a long time and very sick, just frequent blood draws can also potentially make people anemic in the short term. So those are the two main buckets that I think about for anemia is, are we having a problem producing red blood cells or are we having a problem with losing them out of the body? There is another category that's less common, but I just want to acknowledge, which is what we call hemolytic anemia. So in this category, the red blood cells are abnormally destroyed in the body before they live their usual lifespan. This is not super common in older adults, but there are some conditions that can cause it. It does typically cause certain abnormalities on blood tests. In some cases, it can even give people jaundice. But this is not a very common cause in older adults. So what are the common causes in older adults? So this was studied in a major study a while back of older adults. And what they found was that in these older adults, a third of the time, anemia was due to a deficiency of iron, vitamin B12, or folate. A third of the time, it was due to chronic kidney disease or anemia of chronic inflammation. And then a third of the time, it was other causes or unexplained. Now, one thing to keep in mind when you think about causes of anemia in older adults is that it's really easy for older adults to experience more than one cause of anemia at the same time. So what this means is that if an older adult has anemia and we're trying to find out why, even if we find something that could potentially explain it, we still want to check for other common causes because, for instance, some older adults have both a vitamin B12 deficiency and are, you know, losing blood microscopically from something happening in their bowel. That's not an uncommon situation. So given that those are common causes of anemia, you know, what do doctors generally do to evaluate and diagnose anemia? And again, you know, look to find that underlying cause, because again, anemia is not only a diagnosis, but it's also a symptom of something else going on in the body. So the important thing is that once the anemia is detected on the CBC, we want to look for causes. And part of trying to figure out what's most likely is to pay attention to the trajectory and the severity of the anemia. So by trajectory, I mean, how quickly has this come on? So ideally, we have past CBCs. It's extremely useful when it comes to anemia. And so the last time the person's complete blood cell count was checked, was it very different, the hemoglobin level, or was it about the same? If we have several numbers, do we have somebody whose blood count was, you know, generally fine and has suddenly slunked down? Or do we have someone who has been slowly going down over a few years? And in case you're wondering, even though anemia is very common in older adults, aging in of itself should not give people lower blood counts. So if their blood count is lower, there's, you know, usually some medical reason for it. So for the trajectory, did the change come on quickly or slowly? How low is the hemoglobin? Are we talking about, you know, a mild anemia, a moderate anemia, a severe anemia? And is the red blood cell count now stable, or is it still seeming to go down over time? And part of answering that last question is to do a repeat CBC. It's often, you know, one of the first steps. It's to find out, you know, wow, is that lower number real? And is it changing? And in which direction is it changing? Is it getting worse? Is it getting better? Or is it staying the same? And then if someone has anemia, it's often reasonable to do some additional testing to investigate for the causes. Now, which tests doctors do depend on a lot of things, right? It depends on the other medical conditions the older person is known to have, the actual symptoms they've been experiencing, maybe again, that trajectory. But some common follow-up tests that health providers might order include checking the stool for microscopic blood, checking something called ferritin. This is a blood test that reflects iron stores in the body. So if ferritin is low, then that's concerning for an iron deficiency anemia, which means the person may have been losing blood somewhere. We also might check vitamin B12 and folate levels. This is especially true if the red blood cells are a little bit bigger than normal, what we call macrocytic. That's associated with vitamin B12 deficiency, whereas being low in iron is often associated with red blood cells that are smaller than normal, microcytic. But of course, if somebody has both low iron and low vitamin B12, they can actually end up with normal cells, normal-sized red blood cells. That happens too. We often want to take a look at kidney function. Now, kidney function tests are generally included in the very basic metabolic panel, which is like probably the most common lab test order that there is out there. But if it hasn't been checked, we want to check on that. Another thing they can check is for something that's called the reticulocyte count. So a reticulocyte is a brand new red blood cell that has just arrived within the past day from the bone marrow. So the reticulocyte count is a reflection of bone marrow production. And if it's lower than expected, it can suggest a problem with red blood cell production. Next, there is checking inflammation markers, so things like CRP, C-reactive protein, ESR, erythrocyte sedimentation rate. And then it's also sometimes we'll do a test where we'll have a trained health provider look at the blood under the microscope. So this is called a peripheral smear. You put a drop of blood. It's called peripheral because it's blood that comes from your bloodstream as opposed to from, you know, the bone marrow, which would require a bone marrow biopsy. And they'll put a drop of blood, they'll put a stain, they'll look at it because certain causes of anemia will cause the red blood cells to have an abnormal shape, and that can be seen under the microscope. Lastly, it's often common to do certain urine tests to check for certain proteins because there are certain conditions that cause anemia that are associated with abnormal levels of protein in the urine. And then once the testing has been done, how can we treat anemia? So one question is, well, should we consider a blood transfusion? What you need to know, though, is that a blood transfusion is a very short-term fix. It is really, you know, putting a Band-Aid on the external symptom, the low red blood cell count, and it is not doing anything to treat the underlying problem that has caused the anemia. So it's a short-term fix, but It is often appropriate to consider, especially if the hemoglobin is low, like 7 or less, or if we believe the hemoglobin is likely to keep dropping. The person has been bleeding and we're trying to get the bleeding under control, but it might take a while. Another reason to transfuse people is if they're experiencing significant symptoms. And then you may be thinking, well, what if they have mild to moderate anemia? What if they have a hemoglobin of around 10? You know, the body isn't getting enough oxygen. Wouldn't it be a good idea to transfuse those people? And this is actually an issue that has been studied in a number of large randomized trials. And what the trials have found is that most of the time, treating anemia that is in the mild to moderate range with transfusions does not improve various outcomes. And sometimes it's actually associated with some problems. So because of this, the recommendations right now are to mostly consider transfusion once people get below the level of, you know, 8 or so. So if you're getting into severe anemia, they transfuse, but if it's really mild, generally not. But that's a general guideline. And of course, there are always going to be some particular specifics to a person's health situation that might help the doctors decide which way to go on a transfusion. But other than transfusing, if needed, to kind of boost the body temporarily, the real treatment should focus on correcting the underlying cause of the anemia. So given that, what should you ask your doctors if you're told you are anemic? So here are some, you know, things that I recommend asking. I mean, first of all, I would suggest asking, well, how severe is this? Are we talking about mild anemia, moderate anemia, severe anemia? And ask your health providers what you think might be causing this. So some specific questions you can ask: how long have I had anemia? Is it stable or getting worse? Is this the cause of my symptoms, if you're experiencing symptoms? Or could something else be the cause? So for instance, a person might have shortness of breath. Well, is it because of their mild anemia? Or they might have other conditions that cause shortness of breath as well, such as heart failure or pulmonary disease. You can also ask, could any of my medications be involved? Do any of my medications cause bleeding? What is the plan for further evaluation? What is the plan for treating this? And when will we check a CBC again? And what is the plan for monitoring this anemia? And then generally, if you've been diagnosed with anemia, it's because there was a CBC that showed some low numbers in the hemoglobin or hematocrit side of things. And those two go together, by the way. It's very rare to have a hemoglobin that's low without a hematocrit that's low, unless you're right under the little lower limit of normal. So when it comes to your laboratory results, my recommendation is to be sure to request and keep copies of this. I'm always interested in the way that people keep copies of important, you know, documents from the repair shop related to their cars and their houses, but not related to their health. I recommend having copies. This will allow you to follow along with your health. This can also be really useful if you ever need to see a new doctor or health provider. For instance, if you end up going to the emergency room, or if you're going to see a new specialist or new primary care provider, somebody, especially if that person is not in the health system where you were getting your care, or if you want to get a second opinion. Let me now say a few words about anemia and iron, because I've just seen so many misunderstandings about this over the years, and sometimes people not getting the right care related to this as well. So it's true that, so people sometimes believe that all anemia means that there is iron deficiency and should be treated with iron supplements. It's true that iron deficiency is a very common cause of anemia in older adults. Also true that it is often due to ongoing microscopic blood loss in older adults. And that will tend to cause smaller than usual microcytic red blood cells. So on the CBC, the mean corpuscular volume, MCV, will be low normal or below normal. And despite all this being true, not all anemia in older adults involves iron deficiency. So it is really important, if an older person has anemia, that first of all, doctors should check ferritin or otherwise confirm that the person has low iron stores before they recommend iron supplements to treat anemia. Because otherwise, iron supplements, you know, most of them are constipating for older adults, and you don't really want to be taking them unless it's strictly needed. And then the next thing that you want to make sure they do is if you've been told you have iron deficiency or a health provider has recommended you take iron, you want to ask if they have checked to find out why you are losing iron, because that's generally going to be blood loss until proven otherwise. And again, slow blood loss in the bowel is a very common cause of iron deficiency. It can be caused by medications again, so aspirin or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs such as ibuprofen, naproxen, or the prescription strength arthritis medication, celecoxib. It can be caused by blood thinners that are often used for atrial fibrillation, such as warfarin, brand name Coumadin, or Pixaban, brand name Eliquis. It can be caused by antiplatelet agents, which people are sometimes using, especially if they've had a stent or a stroke in the past, a medication like Plavix. It can be caused by ulcers. And in some cases, it can be caused by a bowel cancer. So again, it's really important to ask, you know, why am I low in iron? Could I be bleeding somewhere? What has been done to check on this? And you might think that, of course, doctors are going to do this, but I can tell you they don't always do this. And this actually happened in my own extended family not too long ago, that I found out that one of my older extended family members was taking iron and told me, oh, I'm on iron because I have anemia. And I said, really? And I said, well, I mean, how bad is your anemia, right? Is it mild? Is it moderate? I assumed it wasn't severe. And the person said, oh, I don't know, you know, but I have my lab report. Let's look at it together. And when we looked at it together, what I discovered was that, first of all, this person didn't have a below normal hemoglobin or hematocrit. They had a very slightly below normal red blood cell count on a single CBC, and it was not repeated. And second of all, they hadn't been tested at all for ferritin or any iron studies. This health provider had just said, oh, I mean, I don't know what the person was thinking, but they just said, oh, take a little iron. I did not think that was, you know, the right care. There was also not a plan to check on it again. You always want to hope that you're going to get the right care, but things do fall through the cracks, or some providers are rushing or not well informed. And so I think it's always worthwhile to just ask some extra questions. So those are the things that I think are most important and useful for older adults to know about anemia. So just to recap them, anemia means having a lower than normal number of properly functioning red blood cells in your blood. We follow hemoglobin and hematocrit on CBC, especially hemoglobin. So anemia kind of means a lower than normal level of hemoglobin. Anemia is very common in older adults and often has multiple underlying causes. And you should consider it not only a diagnosis, but also a symptom of something else that is affecting either your body's ability to produce red blood cells, or it's affecting your body and you are losing red blood cells. Anemia is often mild to moderate and chronic, which means the follow-up can fall through the cracks. If you are diagnosed with anemia or you notice that you have a low hemoglobin on the lab report, be sure to ask your health provider questions so that you can understand, is this anemia chronic or new? Is it mild, moderate, or severe? What is thought to be the cause? Have you been checked for common causes like low iron or low vitamin B12? If iron supplements are recommended, did they check a ferritin or otherwise confirm that you have low total body iron levels? And if you are diagnosed with low iron stores, so for instance, a low level of ferritin, what is the cause of your low iron levels? Could there be a small internal bleed? Could this be associated with any medications that you've been taking, such as aspirin, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, or blood thinners? And are you up to date on colon cancer screening? Or might there be a reason to check and make sure that you're not having any bleeding inside your bowel? And then always ask questions, what is the plan for monitoring the anemia? And when will we be checking the CBC again? And that's it. So with that, thank you so much for watching. I hope you found this episode about anemia helpful. And if you did, if you're here on YouTube, please go ahead and subscribe, as it helps more people find the channel. And if you happen to be somebody who's trying to figure out how to help an aging parent, I want you to know that I have a special interest in supporting people like you. I've created a variety of helping older parents resources and trainings, and I also have a book, When Your Aging Parent Needs Help. So if you'd like to get more useful information about how to care for aging parents, including my free online trainings, please visit betterhealthwhileaging.net helping-older-parents. Last but not least, if you've been listening to the audio version of the podcast feed, please come and take a look at the video if you get a chance. That way, you'll be able to see my key points being displayed on the screen. So thank you once again, and I look forward to seeing you all again on a future episode of the Better Health While Aging video podcast.